Father, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are to us. We thank you, Lord, for your love over our lives. Now, Lord, as we come around your word, that you would teach us your word. You would give us listening ears and obedient hearts. We come under the authority of your precious word this morning. I pray for myself, Lord, that you'd help me communicate it in a simple and easy way. In Jesus' name, amen. This week is celebrated as a volunteer week, right up until today. And this morning I will speak a little on the topic from a ministry and from a biblical perspective. What does the Bible have to say on that topic? I don't like using the word volunteer in the church context for people who help out within the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul described the church as designed to function in a radically different terms. In Romans 12 verses 4 to 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll just read the text in Romans this morning, and I would recommend you read the text on 1 Corinthians 12 at home. And this is what Romans 12, 4 to 8 says. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So when you read these two texts that I just mentioned, and I recommend again to read 1 Corinthians 12 at home, we note that volunteers or volunteering is not part of the equation. We are the body of Christ. The idea of a volunteer kidney or a volunteer heart or a volunteer limb is nonsensical in the Christ or church context. The word volunteer within the church context sounds very loosely connected. What you and I do for God is not volunteering, but engaging in ministry. I'm about to eat this thing. Engaging in ministry as ordained by God for his glory. So don't take what you do lightly within the body of Christ. We serve the King of Kings and we serve the Lord of Lords. Amen? Very different to volunteering outside the church. Now the word volunteer is actually an oxymoron of a word. An oxymoron is not an ox that is a moron. Oxymoron is a figure of speech that combines contradictory terms. And I've got some here. Ground pilot. Oxymoron. Airline food. If you've traveled on airlines, you'll know. You know, you're doing this 15, 16-hour journey and they bring you food and it's in this little packet. Civil war. Civil means polite, rather than citizens of the same city or country fighting each other. Can you think of any? Any oxymoron words? Of course, church volunteer is an oxymoron of a word. So my topic this morning is titled, View Your Service for God as Ministry Which Has Eternal Impact. So I'm going to speak today on a few scripture texts that will bring my theme together. In Zechariah 4 and verse 10, it says this, Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. So my point today, first point is, do not underestimate the importance of small acts of loving service. Occasionally we all wonder what we do, whether it is having any difference at all. It is easy to get discouraged. It is easy to be despondent, thinking that our acts of service that we do in Christ's name, in and outside this building, is insignificant. Many church-going, born-again Christians, believers, all over the world, not only in this church, but every congregation have them, live lives of discouragement because they do not get a sense of the significance from their lives. People like you and me need to know and need to remind ourselves that what we do counts, and nothing we do for Christ in Jesus Christ's name is ever wasted. Nothing. The people of Israel faced a similar situation. They returned from Babylon and from the captivity that they were held there and began to rebuild Jerusalem. And they fell victims of despondency. The people felt discouraged because the numbers were small and their efforts seemed insignificant compared to the task that lay ahead of them and compared to the accomplishments of their ancestors. When they started to rebuild the temple, they only saw how small their contributions would be, and they stopped working. The Apostle Paul once wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6, 9 and verse 10, and he said this, "So let none of us get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." Statement: God can do a lot with a little. A little is a lot in the hands of God. In 1 John 6, 10 and 11, he says this. We see Jesus fed in John 6, 10 and 11, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. A little becomes much in the hands of God. When we place it in his hands, it becomes much. Faith gives meaning to our small acts of service. Trust in God means that we believe God can accomplish everything he wants in our lives and through our lives, no matter how insignificant it might be or appear in our eyes or in the eyes of other people. Many people will not see the greater works that God has been doing through their small acts of love until they go to heaven. This side of heaven, a lot of what we do, the fruit of what we do, will not be seen. I often observe Margaret Sharman and how lovingly she gets off the taxi with this bouquet of flowers in her hands, and then she goes to the kitchen and she separates them nicely and puts them in a vase. I've been in this church for 10 years, folks, and Margaret Sharman's been doing the flowers as long as I've been here, 10 years. Never once did I ever hear her upset about having to do it. Never once. In fact, if her garden hasn't flowered well, that's when she'll grumble a little, "Oh, I haven't had enough to put in the Lord's vase this morning." But she does it religiously. She does it lovingly. Why? Because she loves to put that bouquet of flowers there to beautify the Lord's table. What a ministry. This side of heaven, Margaret will never see the blessings, but I'm sure there's a smile of God upon what she does. I have appreciated her a few times in the last 10 years, but not every Sunday, not every time I see her do it. And I'm sure she's not looking for that. She's looking for a well done from the Savior. Amen? Well done, Margaret, from all of us. This small act of hers, which may seem insignificant in our eyes, it will reap great rewards for her that side of heaven. Carol will give you something right now. Quickly, yeah. Try to figure out what's in the packet first. Then refrain from eating it till after I've spoken my message. I'm only kidding. Who says this church doesn't give you anything? Everyone's got a packet? But now you've known what's in the packet. Oh, sorry, you go. Anyone's got a packet with nothing in it? Hopefully not. All right. I'll surely share something on that now. The Lord is able to take the seeds of small acts of kindness, acts of love, acts of faith, and multiply it significantly. Jesus says, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, that is the mustard seed in your hand, folks. Have a look at it carefully. He says, if your faith is small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here today to there, and it will be done. Nothing would be impossible. I looked up the mustard seed and the mustard tree on the internet, and I found out that this little seed that you got in your hand can grow up to 9 feet tall, slightly above the ceiling level, and roughly about four or five feet wide. This little seed is quite a tall and quite a bushy plant when it's fully grown and given the right conditions to growth. Faith helps us to see how God can use small things to accomplish much for His purpose. All you need is that amount of faith to trust God, and He will work wonders in your life. Ben Witherington wrote this. He said that Jesus could have chosen any tree for His parable, but He chose the mustard tree to demonstrate that though His dominion appeared small like a mustard seed, during His ministry on earth, it would grow into something so large and so firmly rooted, which some would find shelter in and some would actually find it obnoxious and try to root it out. And how true was this man's analysis of Christianity today? So many of us find shelter in Christ, and so many of us, so many in the world want to root it out and destroy it, and they've tried it over centuries, but they've never succeeded. Amen? Amen. Faithfulness in small things leads to promotion, is my next point. I love this, and if you've been here long enough, you've heard me say this over and over again. This is an absolute true statement, folks. I have never chased a position of leadership in all my Christian life. I have never chased it. But leadership positions have always been handed over to me when the timing from God is right. This is the key, folks. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with a very little can be trusted with much more. And whoever is dishonest with a little will also be dishonest in much more. Luke 16 and verse 10. Because faithfulness in small things brings promotion. Not that I was chasing promotion. And this, folks, applies to everything in life. Everything in life, this principle. Pay attention to those small things. It's very important. Things that look so insignificant to you or to the people around you. I was very blessed to have leaders around me when I was a new Christian and all through my early Christian life. Leaders who labored this point to me over and over again. If we fail in our little responsibilities, and I mean deliberate failure, where we've discarded it or considered it doesn't matter or insignificant, where we have chosen to ignore our commitment that we've made to God, if we are careless with the little responsibilities, we will not be given greater responsibilities. And that is just the way things work in God's economy, folks, and outside in the world as well. Imagine, for instance, if you're working and the boss says, I want you to do this assignment, but you just sat on your assignment and you didn't do it. Or you took a longer time frame to do that assignment when he said, I want it in 2 days, you still haven't done it. What will happen, do you think, there? The boss is not going to trust you with any bigger responsibilities anymore because he found you unfaithful in small things. In the work, this applies in the workplace as well. And then what happens ultimately in the workplace? Because of that, you probably will be overlooked for promotions and advancements or, you know, moving from one department to the other because they have found you unfaithful in the small things. Why should that, when it happens in the world, why should that be different in the kingdom of God? In fact, it should be of a higher standard, according to me. Higher standard, because we are not working for an earthly king. We work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Highest standard to be applied in the church. Whoever serves God and does good with a little little of his time, of his talents, and resources, they will be entrusted with much more blessings from God. Now, the person who hides their talents, their resources, and service abilities will never improve and will grow stagnant. And I've seen that in 33 years of being a Christian, people who have decided to just be pew sitters and not get involved in anything. Folks, years and years later, when you've caught up with them, their lives have been stagnant. And it's a sad, sad situation. How can we expect God to enrich us with more if we do not serve Him with what He has already given us? One man put it this way, you don't use it, you will lose it. And that's the fact of life. Next point is, great things come from small beginnings. Back to the parable of the mustard seed. A small seed, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants. That's what the scripture says in Mark 4, 30 and 32. So whatever God's called you to do, plant seeds of kindness, plant seeds of love, truth, wherever you go. Give people hope that their lives will get better. It will if they keep giving their lives over to Christ. It will change their outlook on a whole range of issues. Allow God to use your seed to expand His kingdom and His righteousness in quality and in quantity and in many different ways in your life and through your life. The work of grace is always small in the beginning, but becomes great towards the end. The seed of hope offered through the gospel may seem insignificant, but it will bring a harvest of righteousness. Psalm 126 verse 6 says this, they weep as they go and they plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. My next point is, do not underestimate any individual. When I was a team leader for a company, I was on a team that interviewed people for employments. And honestly, I hated it. You know why I hated it? Because I see potential in each and every person. And I hated making a choice, choosing a applicant over another applicant. And ultimately, I had to do by weighing up the pros and cons and the benefit to the company. But I really didn't like that. It's just like Jesus, who took people like you and me, seemingly small, insignificant people of this world, and He uses them in a mighty way. Amen? 1 Corinthians 26 and 20 through to 29 says this, remember, dear brothers and sisters, the few of you were wise in this world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. The Lord does not see as men see. He is a better judge than we are. Hudson Taylor was once asked, why do you think God chose you to start China Inland Missions. If you know Hudson's Taylor, one of the mightiest and fantastic missionary God used in China. And he replied this, he said, God picked up somebody that was so weak that apart from him, I knew I could do nothing. God, the Bible says, despises the proud, but he gives grace to the humble of heart. He uses people who realize that they are so small that apart from him, they can do nothing. But his grace is sufficient. His grace is always sufficient in our lives and always adequate. And it's a good place to be, folks, abandoned in him. Good place to be. My next point is this. God multiplies our little donations. Yep. Luke 21:1-4 says this. It's a story of, you know, the widow and offering. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Jesus said of the widow's offering, she had given out of her poverty. She put in all that she had into the offering bucket. We should never underestimate how the Lord will multiply every gift we give for the advancement of his kingdom and righteousness around the world. Never underestimate it. Like I've said, and I will keep saying this, this side of heaven, we will never know the fruits of our labor. We will never know the fruits of our labor and our giving. My next point is so crucial and amazing. Do not overlook this. Do not overlook children or neglect children. Moms and dads, we need to listen up on this. This is an awesome privilege and a responsibility. Especially for moms who sometimes feel that they are housebound and, you know, locked in with the children. I know Carol felt that way when the kids were young, and I felt that way when the kids were young. At least I could get out and work, but Carol was with them 24/7. But it is an awesome privilege. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these little children. 85% of people who come to Christ do so before the age of 18. 85%. 72% of the people whose parents bring them to church tend to become believers. So how important is kids and teens and youth type of meetings. They're very important. That is why children's ministry and ministry at home is so crucial. God knows what each child is capable of accomplishing. And if we take a little time to invest, a little time to love, truth and instill truth and guidance into their lives, it'll pay off big time when the time is right. My next point is, do not overlook any people group. Jesus went to one Samaritan woman in the village of Sychar and shared the gospel. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 10, if you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you will ask me and I will give you living waters. We see later the woman, God uses woman to tell everyone in a village about Jesus Christ. And God continues to use that little encounter to impact the world in showing others how to share the gospel. It is estimated that there are still 6,000 people groups in the world and maybe more that are yet to be reached with the gospel. That's a lot of people. I would encourage you to adopt a people group and begin to pray for them. Ask the Lord how you could be used to reach them, whether through prayer, whether through actual ministry, whether through sending gifts. Ask the Lord how you could reach, because if you can reach just one person from that people group, like the Samaritan woman, it was enough for the gospel to be spread in that community. There are still about 5 billion plus people on this planet who still need to experience the blessings of God through the saving faith in Jesus Christ. It's a lot of people. Will you and I allow God to use our faith to help reach them through our service, through our giving, and through our praying, and through our loving acts? God uses the faithful few to accomplish much. You remember the story of Gideon? Gideon led the army of Israel to defeat the Midianites. The Midianites had invaded Israel with 135,000 troops. When God called Gideon, he asked Gideon to reduce his army from 35,000 people to 300. Amazing. I would have really wondered, God, are you logically thinking here? 35,000, 300. Who stands a better chance? But in doing so, Gideon was forced to trust God. He was led from self-confidence to God-confidence. This is important, folks. You cannot be too small for God to use you. But you can, you and I can be too big for Him to use us. God always works in a powerful way in the lives of weak people. Allow the Lord to use your faithfulness in this church, amongst your friends and disciples that you may come across, and companions, and let God do great things through your life. Jesus said in John 14, 12 to 14, He says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in Me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in My name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it." Let me start to bring my message now to an end. Do not wait until you think your act of kindness is significant before serving someone else. Nobody, including myself, is able to determine if his or her act or actions will make a difference or will make an impact on another person. Only God can determine that. We are called to be obedient. We are called to be faithful. In Proverbs 21 verse 31 it says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." It is God who brings the ultimate success. Fruit and blessings are in His hands. So be faithful in little things and God will make you faithful over much. Luke 16 and verse 10. You may think you're not accomplishing much, but let's be like a farmer who realizes that the seed he sows today will one day bring a yield of 30%, maybe 60%, maybe 100%. But he sows that seed in faith, knowing that one day he will see the fruit of that seed. We who follow Christ, folks, are identified as servants. Matthew 20, 25 and through to 28. We who serve Christ are identified as priests, 1 Peter 2, 4 through to 9. And we who follow Christ are identified as friends, John 15, verses 14 through to 15. So if we think in these biblical terms, and we have the eternal perspective, we will engage in whatever we do for God, in this local body or even outside for Christ, in much more zeal. We will be zealous, we will be enthusiasm, and we all, each one of us, will be a fulfillment of Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, where it says, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, but one body, and we all belong to each other." Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for everything, Lord, You have asked us to do. And we pray that we would never treat Your leading and Your guiding in our lives as though it was a chore. But we would embrace it, Lord, and would say, "Yes, Lord, yes." So I just pray right now, Lord, that You would bless each person here. the ones who couldn't make it, that your hand would be upon them and you would bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.